The 26th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act is this coming week. J.R. Harding is with me to talk about that. If you're traveling around with credit cards and such, you want to be careful. Ben Graybar is going to tell us how to be safe with our money while we're traveling. And then I've got the lovely duo known as Boo Radley with me here in the first hour. So stay tuned.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. And by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
I take care of the whole person interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right, right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Here we are again, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. It is our pleasure, of course, each week to bring you all the stuff that Tallahassee's talking about. Lots on the list for today with J.R. Harding talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act 26th anniversary coming up this week, the 26th. He'll give us the lowdown on some of the advancements that have been made locally, particularly statewide, legislatively, and some of the action that has occurred that's all very good. It certainly speaks to this broader question. How is it that legislation is passed and it can be years before we start to see the impact of that legislative action? And so here it is now, 26 years later. Like other cultural change, sometimes it's glacial in its pace. But nonetheless, glad to hear JR talk with us today about some of the progress being made and some of the ways in which we continue to challenge one another when it comes to the needs and interests of a minority population. Certainly hasn't that been on our minds of late when we talk about ethnic or racial minorities, when we talk about how we relate to one another in these broader labels or broader groups of individuals. There's been a great deal of wrangling, of course, about which lives matter, black, white, blue, and of course, in relation to our own community, there have been some notable efforts. I say, of course, because it's customary, I think, around this town that we don't shy away from anything that has to do with how we get along, how we do business with one another. And when it comes to the business of city and county government, they certainly have come under some additional scrutiny in relation to some of the decisions made of late. Mr. Fernandez apologetically coming down on this question of how certain individuals were granted rather significant sums of money when it comes to pay increases, right? Okay, so if you have your opinions all sharpened and ready to go there, good for you. Seems to me the better news is that we are all engaged. We're paying attention. We're having conversation because there's not going to be any one right answer, in my opinion, ever. It's a question of compromise and it's a question of being accountable and being forthright. You know, if I messed up, I got to say I messed up. And then we start asking, okay, well, How do we prevent that from happening systemically? Is there a manner in which we can organize ourselves as a group so that we don't keep making those same mistakes? I think that's considered progress by most accounts. There you go. There's my commentary for the moment. But in other news, we had, of course, lots to talk about with the Republicans holding forth through the week. And, man, no want for drama. I mean, all the primetime shows probably suffered dearly in the ratings because you couldn't top some of the emotional tensions and intrigue and will he endorse, will he not, will he show, will he not, and all of the spinning going on from one side to the other. Just great fodder, great opportunity to see America at work in its political process. And, of course, round two comes this coming week with the Democrats having their convention. I will tell you that JR's got an interesting story. You want to stay tuned for this. He's going to be with me in the second hour. He has a Donald Trump story to share with you that I think you'll find rather curious, among other things. And who else we've got? We got Ben Graybar here today to talk about safety while you're traveling, safety with your money, how to protect yourself from some kind of fraud, credit card fraud particularly, and some of the good steps involved with that. He's a good friend of the show, longtime friend personally, and somebody that a lot of you know and trust. He's working over there with Hancock Bank, doing a great job for those folks too, by the way. So a little shout out for our friend Ben. He'll be with me here in just a few minutes. And this lovely duo, Boo Radley, who cannot like these people? I mean, they're longtime Tallahassee musicians, singers, songwriters. They're going to be with me here in this first hour talking about some of their experiences in music, and they're going to have a couple of tunes for us. So another great day with the Moose here at Tallahassee Talks. And speaking of Moose, you know that we have our radio station, moosemagnificat.com, bringing you this broadcast, along with our very good friends over there at 93.3 FM, Freedom 93, as they're affectionately known here in Tallahassee. So you got your choices there. And we do a repeat play of the show on Saturday night at 9:30 on Moose and Wednesdays again at 5:30. So if you miss anything or want to tune in and hear it again, you can do it that way. You can always go to our website, of course. That's TallahasseeTalks.com, and they're going to make sure, the folks that run that website are going to make sure that you have access to all of the shows that we've been able to bring to you over the years that we've been on the air. Now in our sixth season, goodness, and some great conversations along the way with people that are making this town what it is. We kind of feel like that's our thing. You know, we like to get inside of the real stories, the real people, the people that are down here at ground level making it happen. And so people like Ben Graybar and J.R. Harding and people who like Boo Radley, you know, who they're not the ones that are necessarily going to be celebrated in the fashion pages or the social pages. They're not the ones grabbing the headlines necessarily, but they certainly are grabbing hold of the things that matter most, the things that really make our lives better in many respects, and are doing it in a way that is their contribution. And that's the downbeat here. It's like, what are you doing with where you are, what you have in your hand, those talents, resources, ideas, opportunities that come to you? How are you applying that to making your life a little better, and most more so, making it better for somebody else? What's wrong with that? That's a great reason to have a radio show, I think. Well, and let's take a quick look, too. I'm in the habit of doing this for you. Probably don't need to, but your weekend weather outlook. Right, okay. So just take last weekend and plug it into today, and you're fine. It's going to be high of 93, a low of 73. Big surprise. Pretty much same tomorrow, 96, 73. So there's your weekend weather update from the weather desk at Moose Magnificat. In fact, you know, for those who are uninitiated to this, there is this temperature inversion thing that happens reliably pretty much every day. So by the late afternoon, mid to late afternoon, you're going to have a thunderstorm. Come on. You know that. That's how it works. Because all of that upper atmospheric cold air comes plunging downward and, you know, the hot air has to go somewhere. So it naturally goes up, right? Laws of thermodynamics, I guess, are involved in that. Anyway, there you go. There's your thunderstorm in the making. It's predictable. And in other news, well, we're out of time here, so we're going to move on. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When preparing for vacation, most individuals, they take some relaxation time. They're resting, having fun. That's what's on their minds. They're not thinking about trouble or any kind of inconveniences or headaches that may occur as a result of theft or fraud while they're traveling. So as we come into the summer season, and all of us have been doing this, we travel about, it's important that we be cautious. And we have our good friend Ben Graybar here to help us think through some of this. How are you, Mr. Ben?
Outstanding. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, you feel like you've got something to share with us about being aware. And I'm also looking at the fact that you have, for a number of years, I think, have had this on your mind, the last year and a half or so, talking about cybersecurity. Today we're talking about being prepared when you're traveling, whether it's domestic or abroad. What's the first thing we need to think about? What are our, if there's a top five or three or whatever, what are our steps here? What's the first thing we need to do?
Well, as much as some people don't like doing it, you do need to sit down and map it out, plan out your trip a little bit, just so that you make sure that your trip is everything you want it to be and you don't end up spending it dealing with things you don't want to deal with. So The first thing is have an idea where you're going to go. And then do a little homework on that. So let's just say it's here in the U.S. and you're going to travel around somewhere around here.
I'll probably be in Crawfordville for my vacation.
I'll give you a hall pass on the homework on that one.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. How about...
So let's say South Florida.
All right, fine. I'm going to... I probably wouldn't do this, but I'll go to Fort Lauderdale. How about that? Because my mother-in-law lives there and I owe her a trip.
So what happens very commonly in Tallahassee is people will have credit cards stolen, the information, whether it's a local event that took place or one of the big things you see on the news. Yeah. And the credit cards will frequently then pop up with being used in Orlando, in South Florida, often in Atlanta. And the bad guys will use them where it's easiest to use them. So they will have the card number and they may or may not have your zip code to go with it. And so they'll stick it into a gas pump or they'll swipe it at a checkout terminal. And oftentimes, they'll go into a store that sells gift cards, and they will try to make a purchase of a gift card so that they then have that equivalent of cash in their hand that they can take and send to someone else. So the problem is, if you haven't told your bank, I'm going to be traveling, and if you have a bank that doesn't have a live human that can fix things for you and it's a weekend issue, you may be without the use of that card if you leave town and
indeed
and break your normal pattern.
Right.
And I've had that happen where my credit card company is notifying me because they're seeing some spending pattern here or behavior that doesn't fit my normal behavior, doesn't fit the pattern, right? So if it's a matter of notifying your bank, say, hey, look, I'm planning this trip down to Lauderdale. Here's how long I'm going to be gone. What happens on their side? What do they do to account for my behavior?
The equivalent of a post-it note being put on your account saying, Brian's in Fort Lauderdale for the weekend. And again, this is not so big of a deal if it's during the week for business travel. But if you're going to be going on the weekend where there's a chance, if you have a smaller local bank, that you don't have someone that can turn things back on, then you may be without the use of that card. Step number one is tell the bank. Step number two is try to have more than one means of payment available, whether that's cash or a second credit card, so that if card one gets lost, left behind inadvertently when you took off down the interstate and it's not there when you go back, you still have a way of getting home.
Now, we get the stories about skimmers and such, right? Electronic devices that can capture credit card info. Much we can do about that? I mean, how do we behave when we're at that diner, hand the guy the card, he walks away? It's kind of tough at that point, isn't it?
A vast majority of the skimmer fraud that we've seen, and by the way, year over year, 2014 to 2015, there was a 546% increase in that type of fraud.
Wow.
But it's generally, if it's restaurant related, it's very rare that you'll have an individual that is doing a second swipe of the card. The breaches we've seen, and it's happened half dozen times in Tallahassee, is where the business gets basically e-hacked. And they're stealing everybody's cards. But what you're seeing around the state is they will apply a device to a gas pump or to an ATM machine. And there's a story internationally where in Mexico there was a hotel resort where within the ATM machine, within the hotel, they placed not just the skimmer that was skimming off, meaning reading the card numbers, but it had a mini camera that was capturing the four-digit PIN number. And then it actually had a Wi-Fi transmitter, so the bad guys, in this case organized crime, could go by, not have to open up the machine, and download the list of cards and PIN numbers so that they could go back and recreate the equivalent of a hotel card that had the data on it.
Remarkable. If, in fact, something like this has happened, so we get to this side of the question, now what do I do?
Well, the good news is most credit card companies, you have the ability to download an app on your phone or to log in somewhere or at least to make a 1-800 number call and see what your most recent transactions were. And if you're outside of your normal spending place, going to places you're not familiar with, at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, make that call, make that check-in, log in, and just look at things that happened yesterday. Because it's real easy to remember, what did I have for lunch yesterday? But if I said, what'd you have for lunch Wednesday of last week, Brian?
Yeah.
And maybe you have to sit there and scratch your head, and then you're wondering, did your spouse make a charge and something that maybe you weren't familiar with? And what we've actually seen is the bad guys are getting more technically savvy. They're putting charges on cards that have logo names like Amazon or Comcast, but it's not Amazon or Comcast. So if you actually do business with Amazon and you maybe bought three things during the month and the bad guys are putting charges on your card that say Amazon, then you're wondering if that's one that you forgot or one that your spouse did, and it makes it a little bit more technical. So look every day.
So they're working harder to deceive us. We have to work our game a little harder to stay ahead of that. And we've got some banks that are trying harder than others, I suppose, to help us in that process. And the size of the bank makes a difference, you think?
It just means the capabilities for you to check in are probably a little different, depending on which kind of card you have in your pocket.
I got you. Okay, folks, so Ben is here to scare us into realizing that we have to be a little bit more careful. That's part of his responsibility, is to help us. This got going for you a few years back. There was this incident in Crawfordville where somebody lost a bunch of money. That got you kind of pushed in this direction, or is that?
Yeah, it was a combination of a guy that experienced on his business checking account, someone electronically removed, meaning created an ACH and sucked some money out of his account. in a series of steps over the weekend. And when he went back in, the bank told him it's a business account. And by federal regulations, you have 24 hours to give us notice where we're required to return the money. And it was past the 24-hour window.
So
this becomes a, you better have a conversation with your bank. And the fail-safe is just look yourself every single day, including the weekends. And some people say, oh, well, I don't do ACH or I don't do electronic transactions.
Yeah.
Well, the banks have published routing numbers. It's going to be the same for anybody that opens an account at the bank. So the account number is the only variable. And if you've ever written a check to anybody or had a bank statement mailed to you, if they get the account number, then they have the ability to do this without your permission.
So it's out there. Folks, he is the vice president at Hancock Bank, Ben Graybar, our guest this morning, talking about some of the things we can do to play it safe while we're traveling around with credit cards and other financial transactions. Ben, thanks for being our guest.
Absolutely, Brian.
You stay with me. We got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The local music scene is alive and well, and largely because we are blessed with having so many talented artists, musicians, singers, songwriters who we don't know why, but they are persistent with us in trying to bring us the very best musical opportunities that they can. And we have with us Boo Radley, notably having contributed to this whole scene quite nicely in the person of Michael Turner and Patricia Mattson. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful.
How are you?
Thanks for having
us. We are
us.
Doing well here, and so glad that you're a part of today's festivities.
We are too.
See that you brought your party attire. That's good.
We're always about festivities.
You're ready. Lovely ink. I love the ink.
Thanks.
Good stuff.
Thanks. I wish I could afford some new ink. I promised one to my youngest son, and I haven't done it for him yet. It's been 10 years, so I'm way behind.
Fathers are known for that, making promises that are difficult to keep. But that's okay, because you're a great musician and somebody who for many, many years has been at this business, even back in your days in the Philippines. We're going to hear about that. Then comes this lovely person, and we don't know what you did to entice her and to keep her around you, Patricia.
He spoke.
Is that what it was? He had you at the first song.
The first conversation.
Thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Might not have been so lucky if I would have had the hat on the first time she met me.
I may not have gotten
I don't think I was
so
wearing
close.
The hat.
Yeah, the Mad Hatter is among us here, folks. If you've not seen them in performance, if you've not seen their videos, Michael brings to us this lovely presentation with this magnificent top hat that he wears as part of the show. When you, Patricia, when you think about how things could have been different, were you in music prior to meeting Michael?
Well, I had sung forever, but hadn't sung for over a decade on stage when we met. And I was just doing administrative work, you know, office administrative work. So
you had your day job.
Right.
And I'm sure you were just fine. You were perfectly happy.
No.
And he came along. Oh, okay. So how did that work? How did you decide to quit that and go with this guy?
Well, when we met and we first decided, I told him I was a songwriter also, and I think he...
Big mistake.
Well, I think he wondered
I was interested
if I was
because
telling the
I
truth.
I don't like doing all the writing. I'd rather write with someone else.
Okay.
And so we
okay.
got together just experimentally for one afternoon to write a song.
See,
and
that's when it starts right
and
there.
And man, we wrote one song that is
pretty
one
good
of
song.
My
it may
favorites.
End up on our upcoming album.
How cool
is
that?
And we punched the song out in that one afternoon, and we were like, wow, this could be something.
Uh-huh.
And then we just let it lie, and different things kind of stood in the way of our spending time together. And then when we finally did end up actually hanging out together more and more and writing some stuff and just did a couple cover tunes, and we're like, well, our voices work pretty well
that's
together.
Very cool. How many years ago was that?
That was 2013.
Yeah. So for the last 3 years they've been known as Boo Radley.
Well,
only
since 2014. Since like
really?
April of 2014.
Yeah, we didn't really start till
We were just writing.
You were just kind of checking each other out and writing music.
We weren't serious about being a duo because I was still in a band.
Okay.
at the time.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, folks, we're going to take a minute here, in fact, 3 minutes, and we're going to listen to this song, Uphill. Tell us about this song.
Well, it's kind of about a struggling young family, and the father is saying, but I'm building us this shelter. We're going to make it. I have this goal in mind for us, you know. And the mother is saying, but resisting the entire time. And then by the end, she's saying, yes, I'm building this shelter. Mm.
She reads more into it.
That's how I wrote it. That's what I wrote.
So it's not necessarily
that. Let's listen to her. I think that's a fair thing.
Yeah.
In fact, let's listen to the song. This is Uphill, Boo Radley.
Reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism, that's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we've come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maid's makes the difference. Like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee, they'll do just the same just for you. And they're right here, giving back to your community and giving you extra benefits. like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you to. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them at merrymaids.com.
Because the truth is, the best medicine is a good, healthy life. It's challenging to do, but there are small changes that we can make.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
People know what to do, but they don't know how to get it done. And even when we know what to do, it's difficult to make it happen. I just know how important it is because I see, as a physician, I know the bad things, and I know it's a heck of a lot better if we can just prevent that, but we gotta, you know, we start small and they evolve into bigger changes. If that's exercise, so we offer exercise services, or nutritional counseling and modifying our diet, you know, it's not just about medicine and your cholesterol, but it's about what you do, what you eat, and helping people to see that connection and really make that change.
Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, welcoming Blue Cross Blue Shield patients. 850-656-2006 or Tallahassee. HealthandWellness.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Boo Radley, Michael Turner, Patricia Madsen. Great song.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. When you think about local music, and it's a big thing for us, we're always interested in how we can promote local musicians, how we can give them more airplay. That's an ongoing struggle, is it not? I mean, what's been your experience, I guess, in getting exposure?
For us, I think my goal when I have any musical projects is always just get out there and play, play, play. So when Patty and I first started, we went out and played, I think, at least a dozen maybe benefits, and just we didn't even charge anything.
Just
we
to just, get in front of
just
people.
Wanted to get in front of people and get used to playing together before we would think about you know, charging somebody.
Right.
But as far as like the music scene, there's so many great players, awesome players in this town. And I think that more than anything, it's somewhat responsibility of the players to just get to know each other. And I think, you know, understand how many great performers there are in the area and then work together. We helped start the Tallahassee Area Musicians Guild about a year or so ago and, you know, join things like that and just network and, you know, meeting people like you and what you guys are doing. I think it's all important. So it's mostly being proactive, I think, and
staying in there.
Yeah,
it's slow, it's painstaking. I mean, now you've got Ben over there, I mean Russ Pengrat's doing the Jam, right? Junction at Monroe. Venues have sort of come around too.
Yeah, you got Chris Godwin doing Atmosphere. You got, you know, lots of great venues. And
yeah so even the Sidebar, back in the day, was called the Beta Bar.
Right.
Sidebar has kind of upped its game a little bit. And there are lots of those sorts of things happening. You have an interesting narrative, too, about your background in music therapy. Tell us about that.
Not really music therapy, but I was recently getting a degree, a master's degree in social work, and I brought Patty in to help me do a lot of quote-unquote class projects.
I did the FSU tour.
Yeah, we did an FSU tour.
Singing in his
and
classrooms.
We used music in the context of the social work.
I see.
And so we realized, wow, this really works therapeutically. So I ended up publishing a paper about the therapeutic effects of writing on the writer.
Yeah.
But when we went out, we realized this works outside of the quote-unquote laboratory environment. I can't see my air quotes. So. But I mean, literally, we've had people come up and go, "Your music really touched me, or helped me, or made me think about something."
I've got a reprint of this article. It's entitled "The Therapeutic Effect of Lyric Writing on the Writer: A Narrative Perspective." This was published, looks like 2 years ago, in the National Association of Poetry Therapy.
Yeah.
How cool is that? It says research has shown that personal journaling can have an effect on reducing emotional stress in the life of the writer.
You bear witness to that, Patty?
I absolutely do. I'm a perfect example of
that's
that.
That's why I use mostly her songs in the article, I think.
And here's one that's not even cited in the article. A few years ago, my sister died suddenly. And as I'm working my way through that grief, one afternoon suddenly everyone was gone from the house and I could just sit down at the keyboard and sob this song out. And it wrote itself. Really, I consider us as a conduit because we know we're not writing. Something's writing this stuff through us, directing everything we do.
This
song kind of spilled itself out. And it felt, you know, a little satisfying in addressing my grief, but I couldn't do it out live because, of course, it took me down this, you know, into this sobbing situation again. And Michael kept saying, you know, it's a beautiful song. I want to play it. Mm-hmm. And now I realize, you know, I thought I had worked my way through her death. Then I realize I'm doing it more and more. Every time we perform this song, I'm in touch with it. And it's helping me to process the grief, really.
You're helping us then. Make that same
trek. Oh, man, we've had
so weird
many,
how it works,
we've
man.
We've had so many people yeah. come up
we've,
on
we've
that
had a whole table
of
people really burst into tears in the middle of the bar, and you're like, what just happened? But we know that when we wrote some of these things, that's the feeling we felt. It was like, wow, this is powerful. And that fades after we play it 300 times, but when you see somebody get impacted by a song,
it's amazing, and that's when we know
that's the greatest
we're doing
thing
the right
to
thing.
Me is really helping somebody feel like you make their life better.
You've got some big ambition here too, because you're heading to Nashville at some point to record, which is going to be a big deal. I mean, it's going to be the first time that you've been recording in that environment. I know you have one EP that you've provided us. How is that going? I mean, and what kind of where do you? I guess the real question is, how do you get all the money together you're going to need to make that happen?
Crowdsourcing. You know, we're just going to have to do the Kickstarter thing and just hope that we've got enough people.
See if
we
got a
corner.
Big enough fan base. We'll see.
Okay, so folks, if you didn't catch that, this is your invitation.
Big Radley Music.
Pay attention. Pay attention here.
And we'll be posting, keeping things regularly posted online, you know.
Right.
We're super excited about it because Fred Bale is the guy who's interested in us, and he was the manager of the Beach Boys. He owns Treasure Isle Studios in Nashville, where Johnny Cash, Elvis has recorded, Hank Jr., Jason Aldean does all his albums there. The engineer there has worked with people like Alison Krauss, Lady Antebellum, and that's who we're going to work with, Peter Coleman. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
It's laying there.
And we're trying to not worry about it. We're just trying to say, so far, these pieces have been placed in our path.
If it's supposed to happen, it will.
You know? I mean, the tools are being supplied for us so far.
We've been doing this a long time.
And we feel like when we're supposed to make this move.
Patty didn't tell you, but when she was a musician, she spent a decade doing, you know, four nights a week, five sets, and working a day job. So she was the real deal, you know.
Yeah. But that was just cover songs.
Playing clubs,
this is the first original.
She was a professional artist.
But I've never done original material before. That's scary because when you get ready to put a poem or a song out to the world, it's kind of like, well, here's my open wound. Get your salt shakers ready, you know. And you put it out there and then you get a positive response and say, wow, really?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's just getting us to write more and more and more. Now we've got, I guess, about 3.5 hours worth of original material.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And you play pretty consistently, although not necessarily in Tallahassee, right?
Yeah.
We stay busy. We did like 150 shows last year. I don't know where we're at this year. We're a little slower because I had to have an eye removed.
So that slowed us down. Well, there's
that. Can't imagine that.
But we stay busy. As
you
much
had an
as possible.
Eye removed.
Yeah, I've got glaucoma. I'm legally blind in my remaining eye. Don't see very well.
I'm his seeing eye girl.
So there's another reason to hang with Patty, I guess.
Put this
on my face.
Right?
Yeah, she's my seeing eye girl.
Do you see how gorgeous she is, by the way?
She's a supermodel.
Thank you. Okay. I used to tell him I was a supermodel. When we met, he was really, really close to blind. He couldn't see me.
Yeah, I'm a little better now, but for like a year, I couldn't even see myself in the mirror.
Goodness.
I'm legally blind. I only have one eye.
When did you start playing? As a kid, you were...
Started about 10 years old.
Yeah.
But people ask all the time how he got so good I'm here to testify. This man has a guitar in his hand at least 4 hours a day. At least 4 hours a day.
Yeah, I was watching you when you were at Junction. I guess that was for the birthday party for Josie. And watching your fingers. Yeah. I mean, I was looking at Patricia, I want to say. She was definitely the better part of the show. But I was watching your guitar work is phenomenal.
I'm playing the easy stuff now.
I'm so amazed that I get to share a stage with this man.
I don't have to play the electric or any solo, so it's a lot
easier.
Very
cool. Folks, they're known as Boo Radley. You can find them at booradleymusic.com. And be sure to pledge when they get ready to take your donation so they can get this album made. Patricia Mattson, Michael Turner, our guests. Thank you, folks. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, and thanks for all you do for the music scene.
A pleasure. Stay with me. We got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits, if we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, welcoming Blue Cross Blue Shield patients. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. If you've just joined us, we've had such a great time with Boo Radley being with us this morning. Fantastic people. If you know, the great music, great art, musical artists, composers, singers, songwriters. Fantastic history. Michael Turner alone, and then this lovely Patricia Mattson who teams up with him. If you missed that, don't fear, because, as you know, you can listen to any and all that we have done for you online at any time. Simply go to TallahasseeTalks.com, right? And we've archived all that for you, so you won't miss a bit of it. Then again, we're on air again tonight, 9:30 on Moose Magnificat. Go to MooseMagnificat.com, and we do a repeat play of our morning show. How about that? And then again on Wednesday at 5:30 on Moose. So see, you got plenty of opportunities to catch up with us. And as we go forward here in this remaining hour, we're looking at having with us J.R. Harding, this man who has suffered his own personal challenges regarding injuries that he incurred years ago and left him with personal disabilities. In fact, he is quadriplegic. But as an author and as an advocate, as an educator, he has done a magnificent job over the years in advancing our awareness and advocating on behalf of those who are faced with personal challenges, disabilities, or who have special needs. And so we're going to talk with him about his latest efforts in that area as we recognize the upcoming 26th anniversary of the American Disabilities Act having been signed into law now these 26 years ago. J.R. Harding, good man to know. We have other things going on around town as well, by the way, that I should bring to your attention. And if you hadn't noticed this, a very cool opportunity with those who are interested in personal genealogy. Okay, so yeah, this is a little bit quirky, but that's me, right? So the Tallahassee Geological, is that great, Brian? Tallahassee Genealogical Society monthly meeting. Or maybe it is geological. I don't know. It says genealogical. This is their regional research workshop that happens tomorrow afternoon at the Leon County Public Library
in program room A. Okay, so now you're now I've got your attention. You want to know what this is all about? Well, this is a workshop that's intended to assist you with your genealogy and your own research from around the country. It says here that they want you to bring detailed but concise information about your personal research. And then they're going to break up into groups for discussion. More experienced researchers are encouraged to attend to assist those needing advice and direction. So see, you can find out more about your own personal genealogy just by attending this really cool workshop at the Leon County Public Library. I mean, who else is going to tell you this stuff? Well, maybe you found it online already, but, you know, some of you aren't as savvy, so I'm trying to help out. Then again, if you should discover a piece of history that is worthwhile, I mean, is noteworthy, I should say. Of course, it's worthwhile. You might end up writing a book, right? You could write a book about that part of your family's history or somebody else's family. So if you cop this in the newspaper here a couple weeks ago, Sharon Highland Shields has written a book, and it's all about Benjamin Chairs and the plantation known as Verdura. She took 20 years to write this book. Wow. And so if you didn't see this, it was in the TLH section of the newspaper back on the 10th. And then Bob Holliday had written a review of the book, published locally. But Shields, the author, for her part, had been working with the Division of Historical Resources, Department of State, and spent 20 years researching and studying Benjamin Chairs and his family and this plantation called Verdura. What she discovered was encapsulated in one family, the story of the Cotton South before and after what many Southerners used to call the late unpleasantness, including the various misjudgments and tragedies that befell the family. So there's a family that has played a significant part of Tallahassee's history. Your family might be one of those. You could write a book. Okay, so great place to start. Go to this workshop. What else have we got going on? Well, of course, there's lots of concerts around. Farmers markets all over the place. You've got the Tallahassee Downtown Market. The Frenchtown Farmers Market is going on. There's the one at Market District, Market Square up there, the Tallahassee Farmers Market at Market Square Pavilion. So if you're looking for fresh, man, you got it at your disposal. And you've got restaurants now that are this farm-to-table kind of concept, and there's several that have popped up around, including Miccosukee Root Cellar, and they are the cover story on the forthcoming edition of Tallahassee Family Magazine. Aha! So Tallahassee Family Magazine will be in news racks here very soon, and we'll make sure you know when that has happened. But I got a sneak peek, and this cover story about the Miccosukee Root Cellar is a great story about a young family that has for itself captured this concept of farm to table. And in creating this menu, the proprietor, a professional chef, brings to the patron, the people who are his customers, some marvelous creations, and all of it with that in mind. His mom, as it turns out, longtime farming family. And so they buy local, they buy fresh, and bring it to us. It's a neat concept, and it's a growing concept here in the Tallahassee area. So that's something to pay attention to, which should not, of course, be used in any way to speak pejoratively of something like Moe's. And you know that they're opening up another location. I found this out earlier in the week up there at Bannerman, the Bannerman Square thing or whatever it's called. So, and our good friends over there at Oppenheim sent notice of this happening. And because Rick is such a foodie, Okay, so I'm in there with him, but he's probably the like unofficial food critic for Tallahassee at this point. He may not appreciate that, but that's kind of where he's in line. He's fallen into that role, like it or not. And I know he appreciates it whenever we can help spread the good word. And, you know, and if I don't say something, he's going to whine about it. I hate that, you know, because, you know, he gets his feelings hurt so easily. But that's just Rick. You know, you got to just love him the way he is. So, okay. So there, I've done my part. Folks, you stay with me. We've got a lot of show coming up here for you. Don't forget that Star Trek is in play over there. Star Trek Beyond in IMAX 3D is at the Challenger Learning Center. And we don't want to pass that by. So, folks, you got to stay tuned because I got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
The Americans with Disabilities Act prohibits discrimination against people with disabilities in employment, transportation, public accommodation, communications, and governmental activities. The ADA also establishes requirements for telecommunications relay services. The Department of Labor's Office of Disability Employment Policy provides publications and other technical assistance on the basic requirements of the ADA. It does not enforce any part of the law. It was signed into law now 26 years ago on July 26, 1990. It has, for those with disabilities, been probably the most significant piece of legislation at a national level to have occurred to date. And yet the needs of those with disabilities, special needs, all of them who find themselves challenged by those kinds of limitations that are part of the natural environment that we create, require advocacy. They continue to find themselves challenged. And it's fortunate they have a fairly able advocate working very diligently on their behalf. And he is our guest this morning. J.R. Harding is here, who is an author, a speaker, an advocate, author of several books. He serves on the board, several boards, and we're going to find out all about his latest happenings. How are you, sir? Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Brian, and thank you for inviting me.
You look spiffy, too. I love the red cardigan with, you know, you just look sporty. It's that kind of thing, you know,
guys loud like you. And proud and be confident.
And I love the wheels, man. Right. I mean, you don't have to take second to anybody. You're rolling down the street with that piece of gear. You're looking pretty nice there. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things you've been doing lately. And I noticed, too, from your newsletter, 10 years ago, August 12th, 2016 was your anniversary. You had the privilege of marrying, you said, your friend Erica Richards.
Right.
So you guys celebrated your 10th.
Oh, we did. Well, it's
on the 12th,
August 12th is just around the corner.
Yeah, nearly 15 years, she says.
Right,
yeah, okay.
And we did cheat a little bit where we did a 10-day cruise for 10 years.
Ah.
Right, which was really spectacular.
So you've done that, okay.
All right, down in the Caribbean. And then, of course, because it was a shared activity, I had to, step up and give her a little something that shines in the sunlight and shimmers and fulfills the woman's need to demonstrate being loved and appreciated.
There you go. So this is a celebration of 10 years of marital bliss with dear Erica.
I think, Brian, this is a great story, especially as we age, because as you know, I've been in a wheelchair for 33 years.
Right.
And twice having the spinal cord injuries.
Right.
All I saw in the rehabs, besides learning to get well and how to use your broken body and a wheelchair and what accommodations you would need, was I saw the family nucleus rip apart. Male or female, it did not matter, but they did not agree. This was not part of for the plan. And in Erica's credibility, her exceptional love, her capacity to see beyond, she went into this marriage with eyes wide open. Simply wanted to love and be loved. And it's just the gift that just keeps giving.
In that regard, too, oftentimes, it seems to me, we find ourselves faced with circumstances, we'll say, that push us away from that sort of unconditional giving and loving. And when you look at the current scene, whether it's a presidential election or the way in which offices are being accused of mishandling the folks that they're responsible for, either at a local or a federal level. The question of selflessness, the question of giving without looking for what you get in return, that seems to be sort of on the wane, doesn't it?
Well, and that's a sad part of, I think, the global world. But one of the reasons I live here in this community, because I find our community to be exceptionally generous, very willing to take a moment. And I think it happens every single day if you're paying attention, if you ask, receive, and give.
Right.
But I think that might be a neat segue into my own experience with Donald Trump.
Yeah, there's been a lot of furor around his campaign, and of course, with the Republicans holding court this week, we've seen a lot of that drama being played out, just as we would have expected from a campaign that has been known for creating drama and intrigue and controversy. Tell us your Donald Trump story. I guess we're all going to end up with a Donald Trump story at some point.
And maybe, right. Mine was January 20th, 1989. And for those with it in politics, January 20th is the inauguration.
Yeah.
And I managed to get a hold of some tickets through a friend of mine who was going to law school up in D.C., and we had a chance to go to the biggest party of the USA and Bush 41's inauguration.
Yeah.
Well, of course we're going. Well, we showed up there and we had to stay an hour or so out because it's so expensive and college kids at 20 years of age can't handle the big bills, right? So we drove in at 7 in the morning with the weather just awful and, full disclosure, hungover like we should be at 20. And we go up to the Secret Service to take our place at the Capitol steps. And we show our tickets that we are really proud of. And they say, no, you got the wrong ticket.
Uh-oh.
They say, your ticket is for tonight.
Uh-oh.
And the fancy balls, your ticket is not for the office, office.
Yeah.
Right? And there we are, just crushed.
You
know, we even tried to use the disability, right? This was before we had
holding at the wheelchair.
Right.
Give me a break here.
Exactly. Yeah, and no, this was before. Not with Secret Service.
Man,
they just
no sympathy.
Right. They discarded us like, McDonald's trash. And we were about 20 yards down the sidewalk with our heads down, heading back to the hotel. And we hear, "Excuse me, young man. Excuse me." And we turn, and it's Donald Trump coming just off the hot bucket of The Art of the Deal, looking slick. He was probably on the Playboy cover that year. Right. So, of course, we knew who he was.
Right.
And he leans down and says, "Young man, I think this will fix your problem." And hands my group six VIP tickets to the swearing in. And he said, "Turn back around and go have some fun and celebrate America." And to this day, I always remember that, because that ticket is framed with my other inauguration ticket, which is on the wall, which began my involvement in politics.
Interesting.
In 1989.
Clearly, you have one of the most unique Donald Trump stories I've heard to date. That may rank up there as number one. Folks, we have not only some great stories about the current presidential nominee from the Republican Party, but the very famous J.R. Harding, who is here to help us better appreciate all the impact that ADA has brought, along with the work that he's doing currently. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're hearing about some interesting stories of the presidential experiences of J.R. Harding, who is our guest this morning, having come to have this rather spontaneous meeting with then Donald Trump, who I'm sure was far, far away from ever considering a bid for the presidency, and yet he reached out to you in this act of kindness and gave you six tickets. That's a remarkable story. You know, when you think about how oftentimes in everyday life, let's say the rest of us who maybe aren't as fortunate enough to reach into our pocket and solve a problem like that, there's ways we can be a part of helping you bring further the impact of ADA. And that's some of the thing I want to get into, because I know that you're on the front lines with that.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian. And that's, I think that bodes well with 26 years. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, the ADA is the last set of civil rights passed in America.
Yeah.
And people forget that.
Right.
It was born out of the 1964 civil rights and was puzzled together with little baby steps. And in 1990, we had the courage to kind of wrap it together and really make a stamp that said living with a disability is a natural part of life. And those man-made barriers aren't going to be tolerated in our civil society, in our communities, in which the expectation of community involvement, giving, living, learning, working, and educating is opportunity for all. So from that standpoint, where would you like to go in terms of...
The question I have there, and it's really one that you can't answer, because I don't think anybody can answer this question, but I'm fascinated to hear your take on how it is that legislation can be enacted, a mark is made, a line is drawn in the sand, and we say, this is the standard, this is what we're going to live by. Then comes all of the compliance issues. So even in our studio here, I'm aware of the fact that we have certain items structurally, they're out of compliance. And yet somebody like you ends up having to deal with that non-compliance. You know, and you're a nice guy, and so, you know, you kind of just keep going.
Well, you roll with the punches, Brian. Yeah. And I think all of us have some non-compliance in our own individual OCD interpretations of the world.
Well, of course.
Right.
And at the same time, this spills over into all of these other civil rights issues. And we talk about the fact that among African Americans or any minority group, ethnically, racially, there are still those places and ways in which we seem to hide from or retreat from compliance with what has already been established. Right?
Well, and that's well said. And persons with disabilities, in fact, are the largest minority group in the world and the most inclusive minority group in the world. We are over a billion strong, and we're an equal opportunity group because we all have all ethnicities and all genders. Okay, and so I really feel some of those other challenges, let's say if you were Latin and disabled,
right?
Well, I can't ever be Latin, but I certainly feel the disability component.
Yeah.
And so my heart and my desire for corrective action is there. And I think that segues us into the continuous progress, because those standards, what do they mean?
Right.
How do we overcome? And that we're continually trying to clean up the kitchen, so to speak, to make it that we can achieve those benchmarks that we had laid out.
So that relates to this business of Down Syndrome Society and the ABLE Act. Is that what you're
pointing to? Absolutely. Yeah. Right. For, well, the number one goal of the ADA was employment. Okay? Employment was first. Well, you know, what a lot of people don't understand, though, is that persons with disabilities were penalized for saving money.
Wow.
$2,000 was the limit. Wow. So with Congressman Crenshaw and the Florida Down Syndrome's advocates, they created the ABLE Act. And Florida just implemented it this year with Senator Gardner's leadership and the governor's signature that allows people with disabilities, right? Not all, but anyone who acquired their injury before age 26, to earn up to $100,000 and have it in a bank account for all of those what-ifs in life, right? The car tire, the air conditioning, the mortgage, the down payment, the investing in a business, personal care, whatever you need to spend it on, you can raise that money without having it costing you your benefits.
Wow.
Right, that is for the first time now people with disabilities can save money like anybody else.
Right.
And you wonder, well, why didn't that happen 26 years ago? Well, that's kind of the American way, where you, every year is a new step.
Right.
We have to implement it one piece at a time.
Right.
Now, another neat part about that Florida Act is not only can the person with the disability save money, but now grandma, friends, families can also contribute to it, just like a 529 college plan for your kid or grandson. That's the same principle of the ABLE Act.
Right, and that then is another indication of the kinds of things happening at a state level. There was this House Bill 7003. The governor signed that into law. Tell us about that.
Well, that was another component of this broader piece of, okay, now you can save money, right?
Yeah.
Well, if we're encouraging workforce diversity, doesn't that include persons with disabilities?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, now, for the first time, state government is being challenged to recruit and retain qualified people with disabilities.
Right.
They're going to give folks with disabilities those internships and that experience so you can go out in the private sector, so you can put that entrepreneurial hat on, so you can be a part of the new next gee whiz item.
Right. In fact, with that kind of access to the workforce in general, it sounds as though not only are we breaking through some of those physical barriers, we're breaking through the social barrier.
Right, the attitudinal barrier. Right. The big one, exactly.
Where do you find the pushback? Or how is it that, let's talk about employers that say, I don't know, why is it such a difficult thing for people to grasp?
Frankly, it's the lack of experience. Okay. While we are the largest minority population, 20%, The truth is, most people still have not had meaningful and consistent interactions with persons with disabilities. Okay, that we're still evolving. And this next generation, Brian, is the exciting part for persons with disabilities. Right. Because these kids, these young folks, have gone to school with everybody. Johnny is no longer at the special school. Johnny no longer uses the special bus. Johnny can come through the front door like everyone else. Johnny can use the bathroom in the locker room like everyone else. Right.
So it's the integration then of those who are faced with individual personal disabilities, special needs, not being categorized or separated from the general population. And we're doing that at a primary level. We're doing that among schools.
Exactly. So that's so we're really creating a whole cultural change. And many of these rules and regulations were the foundation of that cultural change.
So it really is a cultural thing, and it's generational, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah. And so as these, what I might call the old gray guys, begin to retire and are no longer...
Just be careful.
Right. Yes, I'm getting there too. As this next generation takes over in leadership, there's that expectation of inclusion that was never before.
Talking with disabilities advocate J.R. Harding. He's our guest this morning. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best. And I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with J.R. Harding, talking about disabilities as they impact everyday life, not only for those individuals who themselves are dealing with their own personal special needs or disabilities, but those in the workforce, those in everyday life. And so it's not one person or another, it's not one side or another, it's all of us then, right, having to contend with the fact that a significant number of people in our population are in this grouping and faced with whatever their particular needs may be. But what did you say earlier? They're the largest workforce in the country?
It's the largest minority population in the country and in the world. Okay, 57 million Americans, or 1 billion worldwide. And of that number, only 18.5% of Floridians with disabilities are working.
Right.
And so when you hear about this significant low unemployment numbers, 4.5, 4.1.
Right.
You know, people are humming, right? Well, persons with disabilities are not able to compete.
Not so much. Yeah.
At an equal level with this employer, you say, selection group right now. Employers can be very picky, right? And so so the competitive field isn't as equal. And that's what part of what HB 7003 was about.
I see.
And in addition, it also creates a unique abilities recognition, Brian, for companies and businesses to be involved in the disability world and for then those businesses to receive like a chamber sticker.
Incentives and rewards and such.
Right, so then we know and our families know that you care. Maybe with your checkbook, Maybe you care because you volunteer in our community. Maybe you care because you hire persons with disabilities. And now, in turn, we have a choice to spend our money from an informed decision. So it's pretty significant.
Tell us about something you've got here, Risch Park. What is that?
Oh, it is really, it's my dream, my pet project. It's 98 acres on the Gulf of Mexico, just for people with disabilities and their families.
Wow.
It's a barrier-free, natural, almost conservatory of the old school beach.
Oh.
Okay. And what's neat is there's
this?
Over by Cape San Blas,
okay,
right in the middle. And so you get the Gulf of Mexico view and the St. Joe Bay, which are two distinct perspectives of old Florida.
Very
and
cool.
We've got almost 3 miles of elevated wheelchair-friendly boardwalk. Man. We have group cabins, family cabins, accessible swimming pool, fishing, and so much more that goes on there. It is just simply...
Who's doing this?
Well, it's owned by the state of Florida,
okay,
and it's unique for its location, for its mission, and for its affordability. And so, like, for example, we've got FSU and the Order of the Odd Fellows.
Right.
Right? They do a little scholarship for a couple families every year to take a vacation that they never could afford. Right, and be able to have fun with all their kids and autism and yelling and screaming and being able to run and get naked if that's what they want to.
That's
right,
cool.
And nobody cares.
That's cool. And you've talked here a little bit about the amount of money that has been allocated for Risch Park to the tune of about $1.5 million.
Well, that was this year's appropriation. Okay, so over the last 10 years, we've gotten almost $10 million, right? And we're slowly trying to make this the, what you might call the national benchmark,
right,
of an economic engine that is self-sufficient and used year-round.
Right.
You know, we talk about the Olympics coming up, right?
Uh-huh.
And Paralympians.
Right.
You know what? Wouldn't it be cool if some of our swimmers or track and field people or our tennis users all with mobility challenges used it as a training location?
Sounds very good.
Right. Maybe the folks from Chicago or Wisconsin, they would come down and use it in January when self-respecting Floridians don't want to be on the beach.
Folks, he is the author of two books, one entitled Now What? And the other is the ADA Adventure. J.R. Harding, our guest this morning, notably, not only an author, but a speaker and advocate on behalf of those with disabilities. We talked at the beginning of the segment here about your firsthand experience with Donald Trump years and years ago. It was a very pleasant experience. When you look forward now, on that national scene, you look at this presidential race, you look at all the discussions that are going on about everything from Islamic terrorism to Mexican-U.S. borders to civil rights issues and safety issues. What do you hear about disabilities issues?
Well, that's a great question, Brian, and the truth is, there has not been a shout out or a symbol from either party that uniquely speaks to the largest minority group in America, right? There hasn't been a specific, well, we're going to change the employment. We're going to fix that infrastructure. Right. We're going to have government be more accountable there. None of this has taken place. We haven't had any thoughts about, well, how you can be more self-sufficient, how you participate in our visions.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's hard because I think sometimes people are scared, Brian.
Mm.
They're afraid to mention it. It's kind of like talking about seniors and Medicare and Medicaid,
mm-hmm,
and we're kind of a part of some of that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to have the courage to get past the fact that you're scared. And we need to be a part of that national agenda, that national vision, and those early bullet points, because otherwise we continue to do such little baby steps at a time, because otherwise we're not going to achieve that goal of self-sufficiency to the highest level possible.
Wow. The anniversary of the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, July 26th, is coming up next week. J.R. Harding, our guest this morning, as we look forward to that observance, and we look forward to the continuing work of this very able man who brings not only his heart, but his amazing intellect, in my experience with him, and his devotion, his passion. J.R., thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely.
Right.
Folks, we're here because of you. We like talking about all things Tallahassee, the things you're talking about this week. That's what we do every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock right here at 93.3, our home station in Tallahassee. We're the production of Alcom Entertainment, and happy to do so because it has brought us people like J.R. Harding and all kinds of interesting people who make this town what it is. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, associate producer Jenny Lauer. We'll be looking for you again next Saturday. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Tallahassee Family Magazine is a magazine for real families who care about what's really important. Our children, our homes, our environment, our town, Tallahassee. Recognized nationally as one of the best places to raise a family, Tallahassee is full of great people with great stories to tell. And we tell them, with captivating photos and intriguing articles that will plug you into the places, the activities, the innovations, and the fun that is the new Tallahassee. Tallahassee Family Magazine brings you reliable information on child rearing, schools and neighborhoods, travel and recreation, festivals, and charitable events. All the things that make Tallahassee such a cool place where families can grow. It's all here, and it's all for your family. Tallahassee Family Magazine. Look for it at your local grocery store or newsstand, or subscribe online at TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com.